All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40 for the message this morning. Isaiah chapter 40, and I want to read a few verses to you and speak to you this morning on something I think will help you and give you a little ammunition in the Christian life. So Isaiah chapter 40. I love it when we do these bus events. They're exciting, and I like it even more tonight when Pastor Atkinson gives us the report, and we hear about all the folks that get saved. There will be probably 700 people or better on the buses today, and we thank the Lord for that. But it takes a lot of people in order to manage that crowd. And so that pulls everybody out of the church. And looks like we had a church split, and I didn't know anything about it this morning, but we didn't. Everything's good. Even though the numbers are down in here, they're way up out there. And we thank the Lord for that. But always draws people out of the choir, so the choir's down, and then out of the church service, so the church service is down. Realize they're here, they're just serving and keeping kids from escaping and holding down the fort out there. So let's just act like the building's full and we'll all be happy, all right? That's what I'm trying to do this morning. All right, look at verse 28. And I want to read a few verses that lead up to my text verse. My text verse will be verse 31. And you are familiar with these verses, I'm sure. You've heard them preached on before. Verse 31 is a very familiar passage of Scripture. You see it all the time on greeting cards and get well cards and sympathy cards. You see it all the time. It's just a very familiar verse of Scripture. But let's go back to verse 28 and read what comes up to it. In verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Now, let me just stop right there and give this a 2014 spin, okay? Here's what, if this were today, this is what God would be saying. Are you kidding me? I'm God. Who do you think you are? I'm your creator. I'm God, the everlasting God. Do any of you know anybody who's everlasting? We aren't, are we? No, we're about as fallible as they come. But God says, you need to pay attention to what I'm telling you here, because I'm God. There is no searching of his understanding. You know, we'll say, let me think about that. And then we come up with an opinion. God doesn't have to search anything out. God does not have to go say, excuse me, go get his iPad and hit Google and look up all the information. No, God has an opinion on it the moment that you ask him. He's God. All right? So let the solemnity of that verse just hit you. Then verse 29, look at it. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. I think it was last week. One of our young people. Now, this is one of our teenagers here in the church. I saw him in the hallway, and I said, how you doing? And he just kind of leaned against the wall and he said, I am so tired. And I said, what are you going to do when you get my age? If you're tired now, what are you going to do when you get my age? And he, with all the sincerity that he could muster, looked at me and said, oh, dear, I never thought of that. Oh, that really picked me up. It made me very happy, yes. Even the young people shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, now here's the promise. Here's the good news. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I want to speak to you this morning from this 31st verse, and I'm going to entitle the message this morning, The Secret to Renewed Strength. The Secret to Renewed Strength. It's right here in this verse. And I think if we were just to take a poll, if we were just to go around the room, I think everybody, we'd all be in agreement with one another. Wow, we need some renewed strength in this day in which we live. Let's pray together, and then the message from verse 31 on the secret to renewed strength. Let's pray together. Ask God to help us. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray that you will bless the word of God to our hearts this morning. Father, help us to see the point. Help us to get the point. I pray that we'll not only get it, but Father, we will leave here and determine that we're going to put into practice what we hear. It's just all sounding brass and tingling cymbal unless we apply the word of God to our hearts. So Father, give us spiritual ears this morning. I know we will listen with our physical ears, but Father, help us to listen with our spiritual ears this morning. And may the word of God make a difference in this week. And as we go out of here today and look tomorrow for the beginning of a new week, I just pray that, Lord, you'll help us to take this and use it and apply it. And may we renew our strength and see you bless. And, Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' precious name we ask it, and amen. All right, the text verse that I have chosen this morning is a favorite verse for a multitude of people. There have been through the centuries untold numbers of God's people who have found comfort and encouragement and strength from this 31st verse of this 40th chapter of Isaiah. Untold numbers of believers have through the years had to deal with things that have overwhelmed their souls, they've had to live through struggles, and then they have stood to give testimony that it is indeed true that when the people of God wait upon the Lord, God renews their strength. I would like to think that most of you, if not all of you, have at some time or another found this verse to be true. You were in the midst of a trial. You were in the midst of a storm, and you waited upon the Lord. And when you did, you found that God showed up, renewed your strength, and you realized his presence in the midst of being in some kind of a storm. And you found in waiting, one of the greatest secrets of serenity and peace that is available to the people of God. Now, we have all learned that it does us no good to wait on men. We've all learned that. You know, even when our intentions are the best, and, even when we have the most serious of intentions of being a blessing and being an encouragement, we can let one another down. Men will fail often, sometimes without trying. And all waiting upon men will get you in life is an embittered spirit, an embittered heart. It will leave you with sure disappointment. But waiting on the Lord, when it is genuine waiting, waiting on the Lord will never lead to bitterness or disappointment. When we wait upon the Lord, He always provides that which is renewing and that which is restorative. Waiting upon the Lord, look at your verse. Look carefully at that verse. Waiting upon the Lord elevates the soul. For the writer says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Waiting on the Lord elevates the soul. It carries us through the days of stress and strain. For the verse says, they shall run and not be weary. Waiting on the Lord gives us courage to face another day. For the verse says, they shall walk and not faint. And I can imagine that Isaiah puts this one last because this one is the most difficult to do. You know, folks, it's easier to soar towards heaven than it is to plod on day after day without any hope of things getting better. There are few more exacting tests for men than the day in and day out grind of making it through this wicked old world that we have to live in while you're carrying the weight of the world upon your shoulders. And let's be honest with one another. Our lives have many more days of toil than days where we are soaring with the eagles. We have a whole lot more days of toiling and grinding it out than we do those days where we are soaring among the eagles. So I think that the verse that I've chosen this morning is one that can help all of us and can encourage all of us, because we all can identify with living life, grinding it out, and facing trial after trial after trial. But yet, here in this verse is the secret to renewed strength. And I want to give you a few things this morning that I hope will help you go home, take this verse of Scripture, meditate upon it, think upon it, pray upon it, and allow the Lord to bless and encourage and strengthen you and help you in the midst of the storm that you might be facing. Now, three things I want to share with you this morning. We're talking about the secret of renewed strength. First of all, I want you to notice this renewed strength depends primarily on what God is. Now, let that sink into you. I did not say who God is, but this idea of renewed strength depends primarily on what God is. And I chose the word what on purpose. You see, the Bible tells us several things about what God is. What God is. For instance, the Bible says that God is love. That's what God is. God is love. The Bible tells us that God is peace. That's what God is. God is peace. The Bible tells us that our Savior, God the Son, our Savior, is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Isn't that something? What is God? He's our friend. He is our friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And in my first thought this morning, I want us to realize that renewed strength depends primarily on what God is. Now, let me illustrate the point. A few years ago, when I was so sick, those of you that were here, I was out of the pulpit for 7 weeks. I was sick a couple of weeks, about a month prior to when I took the time off, and really was just terribly sick. But when I could go no more, the deacons came over and said, "Pastor, you need to just take off as much time as you need. Your health is the most important thing, and we're going to take the burden of the church off of you, and you just get better." And so I appreciated that, and I did what they asked me to do, and I took about 7 weeks off. Now, I noticed something about that time when I was homesick. I noticed that when someone would come to see me, once they were gone, while they were there, and once they were gone, I just seemed to feel better. Now, I didn't really notice it at the time. But after I got better and looked back on what I went through, I realized that when someone came to see me, I felt better. And for a little while, a couple hours normally, after they had left, I noticed that I just seemed to feel better. Now, I thought that a little strange. You see, looking back on it, it's taught me something. When the visitor came, I found that I could laugh and I felt better. I don't know how else to explain it. Before they came, I was sick, I hurt, I was discouraged. But as soon as that doorbell rang, all of a sudden I found myself feeling better. The whole time they were there, I could talk, I could laugh, I wanted to speak. But when I was there by myself, and when I was thinking about me, I was not wanting to talk. I was not happy. I was in pain. I was discouraged. But when somebody came to see me, all of a sudden, I got better. Now, it is not what our friend has to say that makes the difference. For real friends do not have to say anything when they come to see you when you're sick. The difference was the mysterious power of personality. It was just them being there. They could have come for the express purpose, or they did come for the express purpose of just giving themselves. They did not come to see me expecting that I was going to give them something. That was never in their mind. No, they came to see me for the express purpose of giving something to me. And that is what made the difference. They were coming and giving their personality, giving themselves. And that made the difference. And that caused me to feel better. The power of personality is an amazing thing that connects heart to heart, and it makes the difference. It enriches by just being, not by doing. You know, I started thinking about it. Many times in my many years of being a pastor, I have had a church member say to me, "Pastor, thanks for just being here." Yeah, I didn't have to say a word. But just by being there, it made a difference. Funeral home. You go to the funeral home many times and you speak with the family and then you go and sit down. And I have noticed folks will turn and look. And that's why usually I go to the funeral home and I stay most of the time. I stay. I don't go in, sign the book, make sure I'm seen and then leave. I go there, sign the book, talk to the family, and then I stay. Why? Just being there makes the difference. I've noticed many a time people will just look over and they'll smile and then they'll go back to what they were doing. Why? Because being there makes the difference. Don't even have to do anything. Don't even have to say anything. Just being there makes the difference. And folks, let's now translate that. Let's put that over into the spiritual realm. This is when we are renewed in strength, when the presence of our God is realized in our lives. When we realize, wait a minute, here I am in the midst of this trial, but I have something that the world does not have. I have a personal relationship with God Almighty, and if I just wait upon the Lord, He'll renew my strength. God doesn't even have to say anything, but just knowing that His radiant presence is there, His presence changes everything. We are encouraged. We are comforted. We are strengthened just by knowing that the Lord is there. So I'm saying that our renewed strength depends primarily upon what God is. And God is our friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So renewed strength comes as we depend on what God is. And He is peace. He is love. He is strength. He is grace. He is mercy. He is power, and is and the power of His personality does something amazing to us and does something amazing for us. Listen, folks, to wait on God is not to be asking God for anything. It is to be simply waiting. Just wait on the Lord. To wait on God means that we maintain the awareness, the consciousness that God is there. And that waiting upon God renews strength. Let me say it to you this way, folks. The medicine is God Himself. The medicine is God Himself. The psalmist David said it this way. He said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none on earth whom I desire beside thee." Listen, to maintain the consciousness through the broken days that we have to face, and to realize that in Him we live and move and have our being, is the key to victorious living when we're in the midst of the storm. When you are overwhelmed with life, when you have a decision that you don't know what to do about, when your body is wrecked with pain or disease, when your heart is so broken that you cannot see how you can go on and face another day, then is when you wait upon the Lord. You say, "Well, Pastor, how do you do that?" Here's what I do. I just open my Bible. I turn to the Psalms and I let the Word of God minister to my heart. That's waiting upon the Lord. You don't need to sit and spend hour after hour with repetition prayer saying, "Oh God, help me." No, wait upon the Lord. Let the Lord do it for you. Oh, I've learned to wait on the Lord. It took a long time, but I've learned to do it. When Larry passed away, oh my, there's not a day go by I don't think of that guy. When Larry suddenly passed away, and my heart was just absolutely, it was just like someone had taken my heart and was wringing it out. And then Diana got so sick after that. Oh, it was awful time. Terrible time. And everybody kept saying, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" "We're going to wait on the Lord." And I waited on the Lord. I made no phone calls. I did not call Dr. Smith and all the Bible colleges and say, "Hey, I need a soul winning director." No, I waited on the Lord. And it was months. How many months was it? Do you remember? Like nine months? like something 9 or 10 months went by before one Saturday morning, the Lord put him on my heart. And I just made a text. And I said, are you available for a phone call? Text came back immediately. Yes, I called him. And I said, would you be interested in prayerfully considering coming here as a staff member at Church the Open Door? Gotta wait. You gotta wait. Folks, I don't care what it is you're dealing with an open Bible and a heart full of faith, simply wait and let the Lord sweep His wondrous personality all over your soul and renew your strength. You will find the strength to go on. If you wait upon the Lord, you'll find the strength to soar. You'll find the strength to run. You'll find the strength to walk and not live life with a fainting heart. But we've got to realize that what God is. Then secondly, I want you to notice that waiting always involves continuance. You got to just stick with it. You got to just stay after it. You know, it is to those who wait that God reveals Himself. It's to those who wait that God reveals Himself. You just get alone, open that Bible, and read the Word of God. God knows the burden that's on your heart. And God will reveal to you what He is. And He'll bless. But you got to be patient. It's to those who wait that God reveals Himself. Now let me illustrate this. In 1972, I went as a freshman to Bob Jones University. Now they had an art gallery at Bob Jones University, a big art gallery. Many, many famous painters, and many, many priceless pieces of art in that art gallery. People from all over the world knew about that art gallery. And there it was on the campus where I was a freshman in college. And we had this class that we had to take. They called it orientation. And when you went to the orientation, it was only a 1 hour class a week. Mine met, I think, on Thursday morning. And the first thing they did was they said, every freshman has to take a tour of the art gallery. Well, being an old hillbilly from West Virginia, I had no interest whatsoever in an art gallery and going through an art gallery. I'll be honest with you, the very thought of that, seriously, you're going to make me go through an art gallery. They were serious. So they passed this piece of paper around and you had to sign up. They said it would take an hour and you had to sign up to go to the art gallery. So I signed up as late in the semester as I could get it. And sure enough, the rapture did not happen and I had to go through the art gallery. So I went and stood at the front door. And five or six other freshmen came and they opened the door and we walked in and we checked our name off and a guide took us around and showed us every picture, every work in that art gallery. I remember thinking as we walked through that building, face to face with some of the finest artwork the world has ever produced. Now, keep that in mind. Face to face with some of the finest pieces of art the world has ever produced. I remember thinking as I stood in the very back of the line, not paying attention, thinking to myself, well, here is an hour of my life that I will never get back. That's what I thought. I was absolutely chafing on the inside. And around those, in those rooms and out of those rooms I went, not paying a bit of attention to anything anybody was saying, just doing it for a grade. Then about 2 years later, my mom and dad came down to visit. And my mom said, I would really like to go through that art gallery. And I remember turning and looking at her going, what? I would really like to go through that art gallery. She said, according to this brochure I've got, there are some priceless pieces of work in there. And I looked at that piece of paper and there was a Rembrandt in there. And they had a couple of paintings by Rubens and Greco and some of these other guys. And I thought, well, all right. And my mom said, oh, I really would like to do it. And I said, well, you know, you can go through it in less than an hour. I did. And you can go through it in less than an hour. And my mom said, oh, I don't know, it's awful big. I said, oh, yeah, you can do it. You can do it in less than an hour. I did. And so we pulled up, and just as we got out of the car and got onto the covered sidewalk, it started to storm. Oh, the clouds opened up, and you could tell it was just going to be a washout for the rest of the afternoon. And my mom said as we were walking in the front door, well, we can't do anything anyway. It's pouring the rain and looks like it's going to rain all afternoon. We'll just go in here and spend the afternoon. I thought, yeah, well, let's just go out and sit and watch grass grow. Be about as exciting. But when we walked in, my mom reached down in her purse and she pulled out this little booklet. And it was all about the art gallery at Bob Jones University. And there was on every page, as you went in the front, there was the articles and the stories about all the paintings. And she's gone through and reading them. And I noticed how interested my mother was in that art. And all of a sudden, I found myself getting interested in the art. And I got just as involved with it as what she was. And we spent several hours there that afternoon. Folks, the point is this. As you linger, as you carefully view, as you survey quietly and intently, all of a sudden, those paintings come alive. And those little articles pointed out this about the painting. And then you look at it and you go, oh, yeah, look at that. And then it would point out something else. And you'd look, oh, yeah, look at that. And they came alive. And we enjoyed that afternoon so much. You begin to appreciate the touch of the master's hand. You begin to realize the wonder and the depth of what it took to create such a masterpiece as what you're standing there looking at. Listen, folks, you aren't going to reveal your deepest thoughts to someone that you only see sporadically, especially if the only time you ever see that person is when they're wanting something from you. You're certainly not going to create a close bond and a friendship with that person. We reserve our best for those folks who love our company and who sincerely want our friendship. And if a true friend comes to our side simply because they know that I have a need and they have come to give comfort and strength and encouragement to my heart, I am then willing to share my feelings and my thoughts and rejoice in their visit. I'm going to put myself into that relationship. And brethren, it's the same way with God. When you are waiting upon the Lord and you've got an open Bible before you and you're waiting upon the Lord, burden is upon your heart. Care is upon your soul. Hurt is upon your life. And you're sitting there saying, I need a friend. And you're waiting on God. Oh my, when he shows up, does that make the difference? That's what makes the difference. And that's how waiting on the Lord renews my strength. Brethren, if we learn to wait on the Lord in the same way as I learned how to go through that art gallery down there, he renews our strength. As a believer, I can sit down, open my Bible, which is God's love letter to me, and I can patiently wait upon the Lord to speak to my heart. And that is how waiting on God renews our strength. Let me say it to you this way. Waiting is the avenue to knowing the God of your salvation. Waiting is the avenue to knowing the God of your salvation. God only reveals the wonder of his being to those who patiently and passionately wait upon him. But now let's get real for just a minute. All right, everybody just think. We do not like to wait, do we? Huh? Be honest. Man, I don't. I made a comment last week. I said last Sunday night something to the effect that time is just going by so quickly. I think one of the reasons why it seems that time has picked up to such a breakneck pace for everyone is because everyone is just so busy. We never stop, do we? I mean, we're busy from the time we get up until we collapse into bed at night. Nobody has time for anything anymore. We have to make time to do what needs to be done. It's just the way we are, isn't it? Now, let me ask you a question. Is anybody else like me here? I would just soon take a whooping as to have to go to the pharmacy and get a prescription refilled. Anybody else like that? Oh, let me tell you, the state of Maryland has changed, and this new Obama disaster has changed. That frustrates me more than just about anything. You go down to the pharmacy, you can call the prescription in. Doesn't matter. You get down there, and there's 10 people in line, and there's one cashier. Is it just me, or are y'all finding this to be true? All right, yeah, you're finding it true, aren't you? You get down there, you're going to pick up one prescription. There's 10 people in line. They have one cashier. When you finally do get up to the front, you got to go through the 40 questions. And you got to sign your name on that little screen a half a dozen times. The lady then looks at you and says, do you have any questions for the pharmacist? Well, my only question is, why in the world is this taking all day? But I don't dare ask that. I'm afraid I'm going to get sent to the back of the line one of these days. So I just smile and do my thing. And inevitably, some guy starts talking to the cashier when you're waiting. Inevitably, some guy or some woman starts talking to the cashier, and they've known each other for a half a millennium. And they will say, well, how are your kids? How was your vacation this summer? How's your garden? How's your dog Barney doing? I mean, you know, and we're all sitting back there. Why? Because we are impatient people. We want instant everything, don't we? And we just keep saying to myself, wait, 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 wait. But today, nobody wants to wait for anything. And folks, I'm afraid that we are the same way when it comes to waiting upon the Lord. We just want instant relief. We just want instant everything in our lives today. And that's not the way to get renewed strength. The way to renewed strength is to wait upon the Lord. What are you waiting on? You're waiting on the Lord to show up. You're waiting on the Lord to bless. As we live life, we're going to have to experience trials. We're going to have to deal with heartaches and problems and illnesses. That's just life. We're going to have to face times where problems arise. And it just may be that we're not going to get instant relief. So we have to learn as a Christian that in those times, we need our strength renewed. And in order to have our strength renewed, we're going to have to learn to wait patiently upon the Lord. But once the Lord shows up, and His radiant person meets our needs, we will find ourselves renewed. His strength becomes our strength, and we are ready to mount up with wings as eagles. And then thirdly, this waiting requires an element of faith on our part. Hey, folks, don't forget what the Bible says. Four times, it's one of the sub-themes of the Bible. Four times the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. And we've just got to realize that this waiting requires an element of faith on our part. Don't forget where faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I wish I could do something. I wish I could say something. I wish I could just magically get all of you to understand how much of a correlation there is between your daily reading of the Bible and your victory in the Christian life. Man, I wish I could get that across to people. But there is a direct correlation. You see a Christian and suddenly their world falls apart and they have never really had any problems before. So now what do they do? I mean, sickness hits or a child has a problem or there's a death in the family. Oh, listen, right here is where the devil unleashes on that Christian every weapon in his arsenal and sees an opportunity to ruin your Christian testimony and faith. The devil's not a fool. And when the trials come, that's when he steps and ramps things up a notch. And if a Christian wants to renew his strength, you better get alone with God during these times. You better open your Bible during these times. You better develop some faith. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And you better wait upon the Lord to show up and do what He promises He will do in these verses. Instead of doing what so many times we do, when the trials come, we fall apart. Folks, listen, you just think back over the last 19 years. You just think back of all the people that have sat in these seats where you're sitting right now. You just think of all the people, and then, man, life was grand and glorious, and they were just cruising along, and then all of a sudden some tragedies struck in their lives. Something happened in the home. One of the kids did something foolish. Disease hit. Death hit. And you know, it's amazing. When the trials come, here's what the devil whispers to us. You ought to just stay home today. That's what the devil tells you. Oh, you ought to just stay home today. Now, wait a minute. My Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You just tell the devil to go on back where he came from. Tell him his breath smells like smoke. Go on back where you came from. I don't want to listen to you. And you get yourself in the book and under the sound of the preaching of the book and increase your faith, because waiting upon the Lord, that takes faith. Hey, you exercise faith for your salvation. Now exercise faith for the living of the Christian life. You have a relationship with God. You have somewhere to turn, Christian. And think about it. The world doesn't have that. The world does not have that. But you have a relationship with the God of heaven who loves you. And don't forget, He is love, and He is peace, and He is mercy, and He is grace. You, as a Christian, can sit down with an open Bible, God's love letter that was written just specifically for you. And you can wait for Him to come and visit. And when He does, His radiant personality will stir your heart. His radiant personality will mend that broken heart you have. He will give you the courage to face another day. He will help you. And when the visit is over, you're going to feel better. That's how it works. But verse 31 says, but they that wait. And that takes faith on your part and mine. I'm saying that when you feel that wonder, that is God. When you feel that wonder, that is God. That makes all the difference in the world. Everything is different. Oh, there are so many people who need this little bit of pastoral counseling that I'm giving you today. This is the nuts and bolts of living the Christian life. Because we all know the truth is that life can just back the truck up and unload the entire bed upon you. We all know that. We've had that happen to us. And before you even realize what has happened, you're burdened. You're stressed. You're frustrated. You're looking in 100 different directions on how to get out from under the load. Well, if you just do what I'm advising you to do this morning, you're a Christian, you know the Lord, you got a Bible. I have people all the time, they'll say, Pastor, can you recommend somebody for me to talk to? Yeah. Yeah, I can. Why is it we don't want to talk to the one that can fix it? Why is it that we want to go and sit down with a total stranger who is a sinner just like us and pay them money when God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Just wait upon the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, how you know that's going to fix it? Because God said it would fix it. But you got to wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I had a preacher friend, and I'm not going to call his name, but I had a preacher friend, I have a preacher friend, who was working on his doctorate. He had to do a thesis. And he wrote his thesis, and this was in a secular university. He wanted a PhD in counseling. And so he went to a secular university to get it in his town. And he wrote his doctrinal thesis, and he entitled it, Why Therapy Doesn't Work. And he said that that the whole psychology department called him in. And he walked in with a Bible in his hand. And they said, what do you mean it doesn't work? He laid the Bible down and he said,
I'm sorry, it doesn't work. Well, how are you supposed to help people? This works. This is how you help them. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Folks, listen, instead of running to your friends and saying, oh, poor old me, and yak, 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 and wearing your friends out, instead of getting on Bookface and telling the world your problems, why don't you just sit down with an open Bible and wait for God to show up? And let the God of heaven, I mean, look at that 28th verse. Hast thou not known? In other words, are you kidding me? Seriously? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? You know, there have been times when people have said, Pastor, can I see you? And to be honest with you, I was exhausted. I'm sure I wasn't my best when I was listening to them. But boy, you don't ever have to worry about God being tired. So I can't sleep. And so I don't know what to do. Get up and talk to God. And let God talk to you. Wait upon the Lord. God's not tired. Just let God be God. Hast thou not heard? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? There is no searching of his understanding. I've sometimes had people come and sit down and tell me their plight, and then I've thought to myself, good grief, I don't know what to say to this. But God never is buffaloed by anybody's problem. God knows exactly what you need. And so the secret to renewed strength is for us to wait upon the Lord. Oh, Christian, would you wait upon the Lord? You know, tomorrow, the day after that, the day after that. So, Pastor, I just don't know if I'm going to make it. Yeah, if you wait upon the Lord, he'll renew your strength and you'll make it. Wouldn't it be better to go through life victorious instead of the victim? Well, there's victory in waiting on the Lord.